Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike, and today we're going to be joined by the illustrious Carl Tart to talk about the Clippers season. We'll also talk about Ty Lue's season grade and just whatever else comes up in the conversation. You know, with Carl, it could be anything. Guy's wild. Anyways, all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clippers, coming at you 5 days a week. Carl Tart, thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Man, I cannot believe it has been this long since I've been on this podcast. Everybody listening to this right now, go on change.org, sign the petition to keep me on this show whenever I
want to do it.
Whenever I can be on this show.
Right.
Whenever
the I erasure, the Tart erasure has been staggering.
Yeah, it's like Ralph Lawler over here.
And for y'all to, you see, he admitted it. He admitted.
All right, wow. Well.
But I'm back nonetheless. I'm happy to be here.
We're righting our wrongs.
Yeah, we're doing our
happy
best.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're here to just talk about the Clippers season in review. We all three talk Clippers consistently with each other. Carl, what do you think went right this season? What went wrong? How'd you feel about the ending? Let's just dish.
Okay, so my dish overall, I'm happy with them every year, you know. Overall, I think what went right about the season was we really let the young guys get some good action in here. Saw some 20, 30-point games from some dudes like my favorite overlooked Clippers, like Amir Coffey had a great year. Love him.
Sure.
And even if we got to get rid of him, I think he deserves to get paid somewhere,
yeah.
If not by us. I think he had a good showing. I think it just shows that there's a love within this team that I really enjoy watching. It's so much fun to watch these guys. We maintain the same level of hate. And, you know, I feed off of that.
Of course.
I think what went wrong, and we talked about this a little bit over text, and I said, when you asked me to come on the show, I was like, should we bring this up? Because I don't want the people mad at me. But I got to be honest.
What's up?
I'm getting a little sick of the injuries between the two big guys. I'm getting a little sick of that. That train is kind of running a little bit over schedule.
I think that's legitimate. I think that's a perfectly thing to be worried about, concerned about. I mean, we did Paul George's season grade on last episode. I gave him an incomplete. He played great for, 20 of the 31 games that he played, but 31 games is, that's brutal.
Yeah.
I gave him a C.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Like, I know you think that it's the trainer's fault, but the trainer can only have so much. Didn't you say that you want him fired?
Well, yeah, I want that guy fired for sure. But I don't think the PG thing was specifically his fault. I think the PG thing was because he played in that game. Like, he took one game off, and then we played the Kings, I think it was, or the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then he went up for that layup, and he's moving his elbow funny, and they're like, oh, tore his UCL.
There is just a very specific pattern, I feel like, that we do see, though, whether you blame it on training staff, whether you blame it on whatever, where we see a guy out for a couple games, they come back, they don't look right, and then, oh, what do you know? They're out for a couple weeks, or they sit out longer. It is like a continued thing.
Yeah. It's annoying. I think that was what went wrong with the season. I mean, you couldn't really expect much out of the season. We knew this from the end of last season when we lost Kawhi to that bitch Joe Ingles. And I, you know, am excited for next year, very scared for next year. I never put too much pressure on the fellas, but next year we got a little pressure on us.
I think a couple publications have said it's like a make or break year. I think that's kind of maybe early to call it that, but because we talked about this early.
It's do or die.
Bro, it's honestly, man, we got to do it next year, bro. These guys are getting older. Like, PG's going in to be 31, 32, Kawhi's 32, 33 going next season. Like, it's time. We got to do something. It's crazy those guys are that old now.
I know. Do you think so? Do you think if PG plays a full season? Obviously, we're not. Or what his version of a full season is. Say we get 25 more games out of Paul George. you know, we get 56 mm-hmm. or whatever it is. I think you're right. I think this roster showed how kind of good and deep we are, like kind of surprised some people, even Clippers fans. How far do you think the Clippers would have gone if he was healthy? And how far do you think the Clippers would have gone if we would have made it out of the play-in?
If we would have made it out of play-in with this team, I think we would have lost in the first round in 6 or 7 games.
That's fair.
Because we would have had to play against what if we would have got the 7 seed, I think we could have took Memphis to 7.
Yeah, and remember, like I guess in this scenario, PG still gets COVID.
PG still gets COVID, so we would have took 2 L's. But and then if we had a law, if we had a made the 8th seed, I think that'd have been rough, man. I don't like the Suns at all. That would have been rough. I think we would have had a tough go at that one. What do y'all do? Do y'all agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was going to be an uphill battle either way. And like, so in some regards, like, I mean, I talked about this a little bit, like it is a bit of a blessing in disguise. Cause like, let's say they take whomever to 7 games, right? Like that's kind of best case scenario probably for the team. Like at that point, you're likely not getting out of the first round. Is it even worth it to put the 7 miles of playoff minutes or the 7 games of playoff minutes on Morris, on Batum, on PG if available? Like, you're not doing it.
Reggie was about to pass out at the end of the season too. Like Reggie played so many minutes this year. Like the fact that
he was very tired.
We were 42-40 with a team with Reggie Jackson as the primary shot creator and distributor. It's kind of crazy for most of the season.
I really enjoyed watching this team play this season. It truly fits the narrative of why I like the team. Like it's the underdog, man. Like and they're always the scrappy underdog, and people don't want to give them credit. Everybody hates us, and that really showed in with the way that they reacted to Pat Beverly when he beat us. Yeah, and everybody all of a sudden now is on Pat Beverly's side.
Which was so funny too. Like, man. Yes, everyone hated Pat Beverly. And then I also feel like, so his celebration, you know, they were excited. They made the playoffs. Pat Beverly went a little nuts or whatever. Clippers fans, for the most part, were like, what did you expect to happen? Of course he's going to celebrate like this. It's Patrick Beverly. Yeah. And everyone else was kind of like, look how much they're celebrating. It's like, what do you want these guys? What do you want Patrick Beverly to do?
Yeah, people are idiots, man. Basketball becoming the most social sport. Now that it is, like,
Twitter's ruined it. It was the first sport to embrace Twitter. Yeah, Twitter's ruined it. And it's ruined a lot of the discourse we have.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It sucks, but I think it sucks even worse for us. I was talking to some buddies about this. I think because we are Clipper fans and because we every team will say they're the most hated, but I think it's a no-brainer that we are definitely the most hated team in the league. Like, for some reason, like, I just don't understand it. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's because the other guy's fan base is so big or what, but it's like, it's just like cool. Like, some girl tweeted, like, the Clippers have been the most boring team of the past decade. I'm like, Lob City was one of the most exciting teams ever. What are you talking about?
That doesn't even make any sense.
Like, it makes, and then of course, when she gets ate up in the comments, she's like, wow, I only know 2 Clippers fans. I didn't think. I'm like, that shit, like, first of all, basketball Twitter people who think they're comedians are the most
hack
dummies on the fucking planet.
Yeah, keep going.
Clippers only got 29 fans. Shut the fuck up. Like we're ranked like 8th or 9th in fan attendance. Like, what are you talking about? Shut your dumb ass up. The shit's not funny. Like, come up with funnier jokes. There's a lot of jokes about this team that could really be funny. Like.
There's a surprising lack of Sterling jokes that people throw at us, which I'm like, that's right there.
Yeah.
That guy was a monster.
Yeah, it's right there.
You make fun of that guy.
But you know what what it is, man, honestly, though, people trying to get clicks. They know that people across the country hate the Clippers.
So, Carl, scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this season? What is your satisfaction level?
Satisfaction level with this season, I'm going to give it a 6.8.
That's pretty fair, actually. I mean, the expectations.
Yeah.
The Dr. Tarchi. That makes sense. I think 6.8 is fair. Coming up, we're going to be talking Ty Lue and just how we felt about his season as a whole. But first, we got to give a shout out to Shady Rays. Carl, you wear sunglasses, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Constantly, all the time. Well, we'll have you know that Shady Rays is actually a fantastic independent sunglass company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed, durable frames, and premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Include loss and broken protection on every pair. They'll send you a brand new pair if you lose them, and no matter what happened, give them a try. And if you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's as simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays, exclusively for the listeners of Locked On Clippers. Head to ShadyRays.com, use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code LOCKEDON for their best deal of the season, 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews.
All right, so we're back. We're talking Ty Lue, Carl Tart. We'll let you kick this off. How do you feel about Ty Lue this season? Is he as important as Kawhi and Paul George to this team? Where are you at?
Ty Lue is the best thing to happen to the Clippers organization ever, I think.
I'll take it.
I think he is an amazing coach. I think he's an amazing coach. I think he really wants us to win. I think he has – I listened to him on Knuckleheads, and I think he really has a great idea on how to keep teams going like this. I mean, to get a 42-40 season out of this team, come on, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, that's all Ty, man. Ty's the best coach in the league. Like, he makes lemonade out of lemons, like, and he's got a lot of lemons thrown at him, too. I think we have to keep Ty. We have to kind of life for him, man.
I'd love to see the 4-year extension after this year or something like that. He wants to win. He doesn't like when he was in Cleveland. The whole thing was he wouldn't tank, and that's what we need. Like picks, who cares?
We
about
need
picks?
That.
Clippers don't draft well anyway. Let's trade him away and give Ty Lue a great roster.
Remember, I said we should have took Bones Highland in the draft last year, and he was available too. And we took
it. You were right. You were correct.
Right. Someone posted Kevin Gelly draft, and it hurt my soul because Kevin Porter Jr. and like a couple other people. It was just like, damn, we took Fee before that.
Jordan Poole wasn't in that draft, was he?
He was. It was that draft. I believe it was right after Fee.
Yeah.
they took Jordan Poole, and we took Fee. Who did get his revenge in the Fee, G League man. Finals. You know, he's doing his thing. Will, what would you give Ty Lue? A, B, what are we grading?
Oh, it's an easy A. I get it. You know, Clippers, and it is like 42-40, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like not that phenomenal of a season, but he deserved like Coach of the Year looks, obviously. Honestly, like my only knock really would be the play-in game versus Minnesota, where I do think that was like the one time that we've seen him falter tactically, and he was not really able to adjust after they executed the game plan, which they did, and they did it so well that Karl-Anthony Towns ended up ejected, and then they just weren't really able to adjust and kind of move from there. And I don't put that blame squarely on him. You know, like there's only so much you can do with the roster or rotations or lineups or whatever with what he had. It's not fully on him, but that would be like my one knock, would be, you know, losing a double digit lead in a play-in game. You know, ultimately, like I said, I do think it was maybe for the better, but it definitely was not intentional on his part.
You don't think it was a tank to get the AC? Cause some people have said that. I don't know how that would benefit us.
If we're fully healthy, If Kawhi is there, I can see it, but I don't think you add an extra game before you play the Suns it seemed crazy, but Will, I like that point. I think I can't remember who said this, but they were talking about how that game against Minnesota didn't exactly feel like a playoff coached game. Like it felt like a regular season coached game a bit in terms of rotations and certain things like that. And people were critical too of him going small, in the game against
it
the
wasn't
Pels.
Working.
Yes. So like, yeah, it felt like that could have been a little more tightened up. But also, we were down Kennard, who was going to have kind of a substantial playoff scenario. Like, we were out PG randomly the day of the Pels game. So I think I think the criticism of the Minnesota game makes total sense. Like, that was a very frustrating game to watch. We just kind of let it slip through our fingers, and, you know, credit to the guys who picked up the slack. But yeah, I mean, I guess you just don't really plan to have their guy foul out. Like, no stars foul out in playoff games.
I was listening to I had to leave my house, and I was listening to the Sirius NBA radio feed, which was the Minnesota feed.
Oh.
That was disgusting. How they talk about us on Minnesota radio.
What'd they say? Were they talking about hot dish, all the weird food they eat over there?
Yeah, talking about all the weird food, and they were just like, Paul George would never be able to stomach any of this food. His guts are too bad.
His stomach doesn't have the constitution for this.
How dare you talk about my man's stomach like that?
You're a soldier in the army of Paul George. Well, we can't let the listeners forget that.
I'm a five-star general. Five-star general in the army of PG, man. Ty Lue's great. He didn't adjust. But also, we got to give credit to Minnesota. It was kind of like the Knicks thing in the 90s when like, Pat Ewing would get in foul trouble and the Knicks would play better without him on the court, you know? It changed. It also, you know, it was what I was worried about. If we had made it to the playoffs and Kawhi had come back, I was worried about, like, do we play? There's a different movement. Because I know one thing we saw in that play-in game and a couple games toward the end of the season was Reggie took a dive when PG got back on the court a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, man, we need more time for them to play together. Norman Powell coming off the bench was great, though. But did y'all see today? I don't know if y'all going to talk about this, but did y'all see today that the Photoshop that came out of a potential lineup for next year?
No. What was it?
What do you got?
Norm at the one. PG at the two.
Already out. Okay.
Kawhi at the three. Rocco at the four. Rudy Gobert at the five.
Okay, the Rudy Gobert thing. Will was talking about this before the pod started. Will, what are your thoughts on the Rudy Gobert? It has sprung to life the second the Clippers.
It's pure fantasy basketball. And, like, I think that is all well and good. I'm just not seeing it. I'm just
Morris
not seeing
and
it.
Morris and Kennard and Brandon Boston for Rudy Gobert. Do you say
I mean, like,
I don't want to give up on BJ.
Like, if I'm Lawrence Frank?
Yeah.
If I'm Lawrence Frank, I'm saying, this team has to win next year.
What about
so, yes.
Morris Kennard and Coffee? Don't give up BJ. We need BJ for the future, man.
Yeah. Morris Kennard Coffee for Rudy Gobert. And we keep Rocco. This team is
and keep Batum.
A creaky nightmare, I would say.
You know, if there is anything that fit, like, just prepare for the Twitter evisceration if we get Rudy Gobert on our team.
Talk about we're the most hated now. We got the guy who's like the poster for having the NBA shut down. And like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
And assist God.
Jazz fans would hate us already more. Like,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then.
Well, we probably got to give up Zoo, too. Which I know makes
We
Carl
make
upset.
It to the finals. Well, I got to give up Zoo?
Yeah.
Give up Zoo for Rudy Gobert? I'll take a little Twitter heat. I'll get back on Twitter and take the heat. Give up Zoo, you say?
Twisting his cigar in his mouth right now.
Take a big bite of that food.
Go ahead.
we will get so, oh my God, we would get eviscerated.
Three other players you would trade for Zoo?
Yeah, who would you trade for Zoo? Real
Michael
or fictional?
Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Monte Ellis now.
Monte Ellis, Delonte West.
Zoo's brother.
Zoo's brother that was eating the pretzels in the stands. What are these pretzels? These are good. Like, all the food. I sat courtside at the play-in game. All the food.
Oh, yeah, you were out there.
You could have. I was out there. All the food you could have in that back room, and that boy chose pretzels. I'll never forget it.
Sushi,
never forget it. It was prime. It was. Prime
I was
gonna
say, would you take the? Oh, prime rib. Gotcha. I was gonna say, would you take the stadium sushi over just a classic pretzel?
Yes.
Pound and a half of pretzels. He says no.
they ain't gonna make nobody sick at
big
the stadium.
Tub of pretzels?
Not the Lexus Lounge people.
That's fair.
Nah, man, I know y'all love Zoo. I know the fan base loves Zoo.
I don't think the fan base loves easy. Zoo. I think it's pretty split between people who think he should be publicly executed and people who think he's just a pretty good starting center.
Everybody talks about for how much we pay him.
$7.5 million. That's nothing. But he is eligible for an extension that is 4 for $61 million after next year, which I don't care how much you like Zoo. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot for Zoo.
That's a lot of money for Zubac. Will we have to give up people to give him that type of money?
Yeah, I think we'd have to jettison Kawhi and BG.
Get his ass the fuck out of here.
All right, coming up, we're going to be talking the Kawhi injury timeline thing and maybe checking in on the curse. But Will, if I wanted to eat a protein bar, where do I start? What's step one?
Oh, you got to check out Built Bar. Look, it's the best tasting protein bar on the market. But what you might not know is that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors. There's truly something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Ooh, yummy. You want to know what my favorite flavor is?
What?
All of them. Wow. That's why I go with a mixed box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Look, not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And right now you can check out the Puffs, first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, now that we have our protein bars and our Shady Rays glasses on, let's talk the injury timelines. What was your level of belief that Kawhi was going to come back? Where were you on that, on the whole tinfoil hat movement that this podcast may or may not have been started?
I had a tan yarmulke on, a tinfoil yarmulke.
A little guy.
It was small.
You're observing.
A little guy. It was, I wanted him to come back for the playoffs. I thought we were going to be able to sneak in. And that was the biggest, we never got to it when I was talking about, well, that was the biggest letdown of the season. I think we just fumbled, the way we fumbled those games. It was just like, oh, that's a letdown. But I thought he's going to come back for the playoffs. And I thought we were going to come in as a 7 or 8 seed and have like just one of the best 7 or 8 seeds of all time.
Just fuck shit up.
Yeah. And I think we could have, you know, gone far with that team. But other than that, I didn't expect him to come back for the regular season, especially as, remember we went on that little losing streak where we lost like 6 in a row? And
yeah, when Paul George was out.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, he's not coming back. Like, we're finna fumble this bag. We're finna drop down. And we battled back, which was insane. I had my tinfoil yarmulke on, and I was hoping that we could have got him back for the playoffs. But alas, we are not there.
But, I mean, no playoff miles on either guy in this. Longest offseason they've had, very long time.
Oh, that's a good point.
Things are looking good for next year if both of them are ready to go. Like, I feel like it is a bummer, but, like, we are in the best situation to go all in on next year.
Yeah, especially if we add Rudy to the lineup.
Do you think so? Wait, we got to get back to this Rudy Gobert thing. So I think Morris and Kennard for Rudy Gobert plus what I think I would be shocked if it happened, but I would be very excited for what our team defense would look like. Carl, do you think, were you out on the Gobert idea that fans are just speaking to existence, and were you out on just a trade before the deadline, like before the next season starts? Like, do you think that happens or should?
Yeah. I think we need to beef up. I think we need to beef up the middle a little bit. Yeah, especially if we lose Isaiah Hartenstein, which is a possibility.
You're a big heart head.
I'm a big heart head. I like him. We've exchanged some looks and some nods and some, you know.
Of course. Acknowledgments of each other.
He's my boy. Yeah. He's my boy. His lady is Ladyin. Okay. Come on now. If we have to lose him, we're very, very weak in the middle.
Well, we got
to. Like Biltmore Marshmallow in the middle.
Fluffy. Delicious and fluffy, but we'll not get it done in the playoffs.
Yeah. Not get it done. So keep our treat. We're a protein treat.
You want to keep Rocco, yes. Right? Okay.
Yes, 100%.
Who are you trading?
I don't want to trade him because I like him and I like the energy that he brings to our team. And I think we need a guy. I think every team needs a guy like this. But if we could get something good for Mook, we got to do it.
You don't think we owe it to like Kawhi and Paul George and just like, I mean, what we did last season to like try and get the band back together one last time.
Hey, I love the band.
except the drummer.
Yeah, except the drummer. Except Ringo.
He's the Ringo, bassist, but
Ringo Zubak can get out of here. But I would love for them to all win the championship together. Like they've been hated on so much that it's like they deserve it. Mm-hmm. So that with that being said, though, like if we gotta make a move, I mean, this is the Clipper fan in me. This is the sad Clipper fan in me. Sure. But, man, this shit has taken a long time.
Yeah.
Like, it's taken a long time. And it's making me nervous. And I want the best chance we can get. I want the best chance we can get to get a championship. And the way that teams are moving now, luckily, all the teams pretty much stay stagnant this year, but who knows what teams do next year? Who knows?
Oh, shit's gonna get crazy. Dallas, I mean, Utah might blow it up. Like, what if Utah blows it up after this year? Like,
then we need to get somebody. Of course, they're keeping Donovan Mitchell, but we need to get one of those guys. I don't like Rudy Gobert. I think he's trash, but he is beneficial, and I think he is a piece that we could really use on a team.
What if you had to root for a team that had Rudy Gobert and Ivica Zubac as the two centers?
Man, and I deserve everything coming to me.
So, I mean, obviously, it'd be great to make the roster better. What? I feel like we haven't prepared or talked enough about the nightmare scenario in which happens this offseason if Batum opts out, Hart doesn't come back, we can't keep Rocco.
Whew, like, shit has gone
what do
bad
we do
if that happens.
Then?
What do we do?
I mean, then Morris is probably getting moved for sure, but like, whoof, you're in a rough spot.
Why wouldn't we be able to keep Rocco?
He's just an unrestricted free
agent. Just if he gets offered more money. Yeah, if he gets offered more money somewhere else.
I'm feeling like Hart is probably gone. Like, yeah. And that sucks because
Like, the Ty Lue system works great for Hart, and we didn't get to see, like, we didn't get to see Hart and Kawhi and PG share the floor. Not, you know, just to be some nice ball movement. Like the offense would look crazy with those three out there.
What was Hart's weakness? Defense? He couldn't really guard nobody, right?
So Hart is like an advanced stats darling. Like every advanced stat is like, oh, is, you know, that's great. But yeah, he fouls a shit ton. And
yeah,
Ty Lue did not think he was worth more than 7 minutes in either of the play-in games. So there's obviously some serious concerns when it comes to playoff basketball with Hart.
Yeah.
Much like Ivica Zubac once.
Ivica Zubac. You know, who do you think would want him? That should tell you right there. Yeah.
A bunch
for
of teams.
$7.5 million.
A bunch of teams. He's like 26.
What could we get back?
He's part of a package. I think it's like a Zoo Morris or Zoo Kennard Morris. Like, and Luke, we haven't even really talked about Luke. Luke's the best 3-point shooter in the league, but it feels like he is.
They mentioned him in the Memphis game today.
He's a movable. His contract size is movable, and there's value.
Yeah,
he's the best 3-point shooter in the league.
Yeah,
but he also doesn't start for us. I mean,
that's true. No, yeah,
yeah. Is he a starter somewhere else? I don't know.
Probably. He's bad on D.
He's bad on D, but on a team that doesn't have four wings playing 1 through 4, I think he might be a starter. So we do have to check in. Carl, every time you come on the pod, which has been 60, 70 times now. It feels like the curse is also here. And I was wondering if it actually looks like the curse is here now. How's the curse off season going? How did the curse just kind of think his performance was this year for the Clippers?
I mean, come on. I deserve an Oscar.
Okay. Well,
a Webby. A Grammy. An EGOT. I should be EGOTing. EGOTWA with the Webby at the end.
Yeah.
No one's EGOTWA with the an Emmy, a Grammy, a Tony, an Oscar. An Emmy, Grammy, an Oscar, a Tony, a Webby, and an American Music Award. EGOTWA.
Spirit Award? You can do a Spirit Award too.
Independent Spirit Award.
Yeah.
I deserve a what is the Gospel Awards called? I deserve a BET Award. EGOTWAB. You got twabs.
You're pretty full of yourself. This is the most smug I've heard the curse in a really long time.
I mean, come on. Giving Paul George COVID at that point. Do you know how low the numbers are right now?
It was vintage. It was vintage curse.
I had to work for it.
I can't pretend.
I had to work for it.
You've got to be worried about next season though, right, Curse? I mean, I just don't. You're not back-to-backing this performance.
I'm a little worried. It depends. It depends on what happens. You guys just said a lot of things right now. You guys said a lot of scenarios that could help us. If I were to offer Isaiah Hartenstein a bunch of money somewhere else, like the Lakers. Imagine Harden purple and gold. I think it fits.
I don't think it goes with this. I don't think it works.
Or Rocco in purple and gold.
Oh, no. Curse. Oh, my God. Curse. This is a family program.
Get out of here.
I think it could happen. And what if I just gave Zubats $61 million over 4 years?
Well, Curse, then I think even us would be like, you've outdone yourself at this point.
Let's see if that contract happens. I'll supply the pen, and I will...
It'll burn you when you touch it, when you sign that contract.
Yes, it's very hot pen. Very hot pen. I said, Zubats signed right here on the dotted line. We're in the business of Zubats. We're in the zoo business.
All right. Well, Curse, thank you for stopping by, for giving us a glimpse at the hellish future that might await us.
Also, I have a little message for you.
Oh, no.
I also gave PG a moral compass because, as you know, testing in the NBA is voluntary.
Oh, so he didn't have
to do it.
He's just a good guy. Well, I guess the curse of PG is a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Curse, you gotta go. This has been great, but I hope we never see you again, Curse. Carl Tart is now back. The curse has evaporated. Our computer screens are back to normal.
He's gone.
Curse is gone.
It was all that was on the computer screen was it was fuzzy, and it was the curse is a part of Anonymous, so he wears the V for Vendetta mask.
Yeah, he's a big dork. The curse is a huge dork. he's a big loser. Well, Carl, that about wraps it up. Is there anything you want to leave these Clippers fans with? They always love when you're on the show. We always appreciate you when you're on the show.
Clipper Nation, stay strong, stay up. Next year is our year. It's got to be. I'm as of the last 7 minutes of this podcast, I'm kind of growing on this idea of Rudy Gobert. Like something about it is like, because he would be very good against a bunch of teams. He'd be very bad against other teams. We lose games because of him. But I mean,
pressure's already on Rudy. Apparently,
yeah, pressure's on Rudy. But Rudy. Rudy. But Clipper Nation, stay strong. We love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for having me, guys.
Of course.
I love talking about the boys. The boys are back in town. Streetlights over spotlights. All hands.
Let's get the billboards back up. Carl wants the billboards back up. Let's get those back up.
I want the billboards back up, man. That pissed Lakers off. Laker fans off to no end, those billboards.
I want a billboard up of their banners covered up. That's just the billboard. It's just the billboard of where their banners used to be. All right, Thursday's episode. We're going to pull up on Twitter for Voting Thursday. We haven't thought of a name of it yet. We're doing Reggie Jackson's season grade. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, if someone wanted to review this podcast, talk about how they love getting some insight from the curse and how Carl Tart's hate for Zubats fuels their day, where could they possibly do that?
So you can review this podcast over on Apple Podcasts, the podcast app on your mobile device. You can also review us over on Spotify. You can listen to us on either one of those platforms. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Amazon Music. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the show. We come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. Hey, the curse on its way out. Clips on their way back in.
Hell yeah. Let's do it. Thanks again to Carl Tart. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.